I understand that you not only preach more outdoor life, but you also, as a child, were very much an outdoors person and still are. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. I always joke that I was born a nature geek, and as a kid, I got to run around and play outside, and it really was important for me, at least, in the development of my love of nature. And I went on to study ecology, and now I've been with the National Wildlife Federation as a naturalist for the last 11 years.
Well, I don't know that I developed a huge love of nature. I suppose it certainly did encourage me to be more interested in nature, but of course, when I was a kid, we didn't have the computer. However, there's something coming up this weekend that is in conjunction or organized by the National Wildlife Federation, and that's the 7th Annual Great American Backyard Campout, and we'll certainly talk about that. That's coming up this Saturday. But what are the details? I mean, are we exaggerating when we say that children don't spend enough time outside in the fresh air? Well, sometimes it's not so fresh, but nevertheless, are we allowing children to stay inside, and are they not getting enough exercise? What's your take on this, David?
Well, yes, yeah, sadly, I think we do have a problem. If you look at the statistics over the last 20 years or so, we've really seen a dramatic uptick in the amount of time that kids are spending indoors. And it's not only that they're spending the time indoors, but they're spending an enormous amount of time sedentary in front of electronic screens. Today, the average school-age kid in America spends almost 8 full hours a day indoors in front of screens. So they're on their computers, they're watching TV, they're playing video games, they're in front of their smartphones, text messaging and playing games. So almost 8 hours a day. So they do it at school, they do it at home, they do it after school, and they're only spending just a few minutes every day outside. At the same time that we've seen that trend in indoor time really skyrocket, we also see a jump in the rates of childhood obesity and childhood diabetes and attention deficit issues. And all the research that's out there shows that kids that go outside and have access to the fresh air and play outdoors are, you know, a lot of those problems go away. They're less likely to be obese, they're less likely to have diabetes, they tend to be less likely to have attention deficit issues, or if they do, the outdoor playtime actually helps with it. They're less likely to have vitamin D deficiencies, they're less likely to have nearsightedness, they tend to be more creative, because when kids that go outside to play, you know, are not in a structured, you know, school environment or a sport or indoors being told what to do, guess what? They have to invent games. They have to be creative. They have to solve problems with their peers. They have to form teams and, you know, play games together and self-manage. And all of those teach kids really good life skills. So not only are they not getting the physical activity, they're not getting the developmental activity that they really need to grow into adults. But ultimately, for the National Wildlife Federation, all of that's critically important. But on top of it, we know that for people to develop an appreciation and a love of nature and the outdoors and wildlife, you know, in order to want to protect it, they need to have exposure to it as kids. And right now, what we're doing is robbing this generation of people of any chance ever of knowing nature and wildlife in the natural world, and that's a scary thing.
And it's interesting that you say that there is a definite link between such things as childhood obesity, ADHD, and diabetes even. There's a definite link to those things happening. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I can't say that there is a lot of specific research that links those, but I think it's just common sense. It's pretty obvious. And but there is research that shows, you know, all the things that I just ticked off. You know, there's studies that look at those things. And, you know, nearsightedness, for example, you know, the scientists can't say, well, it's because kids are sitting in front of screens. But again, it's pretty obvious that, you know, we know that kids that go outside to play are less likely to be nearsighted. So we don't know exactly what the cause is, but you know, the proof is there that kids that go outside to play are going to get that benefit. So, there really isn't.
That's really interesting, David, about nearsightedness. It's too late for me, but.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I can see the correlation there between sitting at a screen, looking at a screen for several hours a day, and
right.
How it would affect your sight.
Right, and of course, that's not the only cause of nearsightedness. Some of us are born that way. I'm nearsighted as well.
Okay.
There seems to be something going on, and the scientists are still researching it. But again, kids that go outside, according to the research, are less likely to be nearsighted. So again, there's a whole bunch of health benefits. There's a bunch of developmental benefits, and there's just sort of the general, imparting of the value of appreciating our natural resources that are all around us that, it goes beyond just beauty, right? I mean, nature is a beautiful thing, but I mean, this is the legacy that we are leaving the next generation in terms of our environment, and again, it's the clean air, it's the clean water, it's being able to look outside and actually see trees and flowers and not just asphalt and buildings. And then ultimately it's the wild animals too, the wild animals that share our planet. And the old saying is really true. You only protect what you love and you only love what you know. And again, we're not giving kids today any chance even of ever knowing the natural world and the wildlife that inhabits it in their neighborhoods and beyond. And so that's why the National Wildlife Federation started our Be Out There campaign. And underneath that campaign, we've got a whole bunch of programs that are designed specifically to help people get connected with nature and largely to help kids get connected with nature. And the Great American Backyard Campout, which, as you mentioned, is happening this Saturday, June 25th, is one of those programs that we've created to really help families get some more of that outdoor time that's so critically needed.
How is that going to work? What happens exactly?
So here's how it works. It's the Great American Backyard Campout has been going on. This will be our seventh year, and it's not something that happens in one place at one time. It's something that happens all around the country. We pick the date every year, and we try to get the word out, and we put out a whole bunch of great materials and information, and then people, wherever they are, go out and they camp. So the first thing for people to do is to check out our website. It's nwf.org/campout. And when you go there, the first thing that we ask you to do if you're going to camp out is to register with us. And there's a bunch of different ways that you can do that. The reason we ask people to register is that it helps us track how many people are participating. And, it's a fun way of really kind of joining a whole kind of movement of people that have said, this is a priority. Getting me and my family back outside is important, and I want to tell everyone about it.
When you say family, David, you're not talking about just putting up a pup tent and sending the kids outside to sleep at night. You're talking about the whole family doing this.
Well, different people do it in different ways, and there's really no one right way. If you're just getting the kids out of doors, that's a good thing. But what we found is that, anecdotally from speaking with campers in previous years, is that they really have made it a fun, sort of whole family event. And some people actually go beyond that, and they bring in the extended family. And some of the best stories that I've heard are the stories of intergenerational connections going on during the campout. And a lot of families have actually made it an annual event now. They do it every year. School's getting out, summer vacation's beginning, and it's just kind of a fun way to celebrate that and to do something different and like I said, connect with the whole family. And, so some people do it as individuals in their backyard. If you're interested in joining up with maybe a bigger group camp out, we've got those as well. And if you want to create a group camp out, so again, like maybe you're going to get your church group involved or your kids' scout groups or, really anything, your garden club members, whatever it is that you're into, maybe you want to help rally them and have a group camp out, you could register one of those as well. Or if you want to join up with an existing group camp out, you can do that. And it's all on the website, wf.org/campout. Now, once you register.
David, if people decide to log on to your website, and will they get some information, some suggestions,
mm-hmm.
things to do? Because, a lot of parents would be going into this without a clue.
Right, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, once you go in and register on the website, you get access to a ton of really great information Again, 7 years of accumulated content that we've been able to build on, into that website. So everything from camping 101, you know, the basics, what you need to know if you're going to be camping in your yard, or if you maybe you're going to go to a more traditional camping experience at a campsite or something like that. We've got camp recipes for, you know, a campfire or even just a backyard grill if that is your campfire for the event. We've got songs, we've got activities, we've got games, all sorts of stuff that will be fun and interesting. You know, we try to make it easy, like I said, and take out any of the anxiety that people might have about going out and camping, because, you know, let's face it, people can be intimidated if they've never done it before, and
just have a few days now before Saturday comes along, and I'm wondering about the expense of this. Do you recommend, for example, that people need to go out and buy a tent of some kind, or what's the suggestion here?
Well, the suggestion is just that you don't need to spend any more money than you need to. You know, part of one of the great things about Camp Out, too, is that with the economy still not fully recovered, a lot of families can't actually afford to go on vacations. And so the word staycation has been buzzing around for these last few years, and there's no better staycation than doing the backyard camp out. But yeah, you don't necessarily have to buy a tent. There's a couple different options. You know, and again, you can get information on this on our website. But, you know, putting up a tarp and throwing some sleeping bags or some blankets on the ground is, you know, could be all that you need to do, you know, and sleep out under the stars, and the tarp will protect you if it happens to start to drizzle or something. You could purchase a tent if you don't already have one. The national sponsor of the Great American Backyard Campout is REI, and REI actually has a great program where you can rent camp equipment. So if you don't want to make the financial commitment to go out and buy a tent and sleeping bags and all of that stuff, you can go to your local REI store and just rent equipment. It's much more affordable than making the purchase, and see if you like it before you make that commitment. So there's a lot of different options.
What is REI? What does that stand for? REI.
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but REI is one of the the biggest national outdoor equipment chains that, you know, in America, and they, like I said, are the national sponsor of the Great American Backyard Campout. So they've got everything from, you know, tents to mountain bikes to hiking boots to clothing to compasses, everything that you need in order to go out and enjoy the outdoors.
Okay, I just had not seen REI in this particular tri-state area, but there are a number of sort of rental places that I guess maybe you might find what you need there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, the message is that it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. You know, we try to, again, make it as easy as possible and just let people outdoors, because we know that once they get outside and they make the initial commitment to do that, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be something that is memory-making for their family. And once that happens, then they sort of get hooked, and they get really into this idea of participating in the camp out every year, and the best thing is that, you know, if you don't happen to be able to do it this weekend, or, you know, you don't feel like you have enough time to prepare, which you don't really have to prepare that much, but you could do this any time of the year. You don't have to camp out just on June 25th. You can do it the next weekend or the weekend after that, or, you know, in fact, we've heard from some families who like it so much that they camp out year-round in their backyard, including in the winter months. So, yeah, some people really get bitten with the outdoor bug and go for it. But, you know, most people aren't going to do that. But again, you can do this at any point during the summer or the warm months, and give your kids that opportunity to get outside and enjoy nature and have a little bit of fun and just, you know, really get into the spirit of what National Wildlife Federation's Be Out There campaign is all.
And, of course, there's no pun intended when you say bitten by the outdoor bug. Just be sure and take that bug spray along with you, right?
That's right. Well, that's one of the tips that we have on our website is what you know, the basics that you need to think about having with you, whether, again, you're camping in a traditional campsite or in your backyard. And some form of insect repellent is a good idea, whether it's a typical spray or something natural and herbal, or even if it's a physical deterrent. And I'll give a tip out there for folks too. You know, mosquitoes, most people don't realize that all mosquitoes don't bite. It's actually only the females that bite. Otherwise, mosquitoes actually drink pollen just like butterflies do. And they're considered one of the many pollinating species that are out there that help fertilize flowers. But when the female is getting ready to mate and lay her egg, she needs that added boost of protein. And so she goes out and seeks out a blood meal, and they track their prey through this sort of trail of moisture and heat and carbon dioxide that we emit in our breath and even through our skin. So that's why bug repellents work, because they kind of cover that up and mask that trail. But if you're camping out and you are in your yard, what you might want to think about doing is if you've got a large oscillating fan, plugging that in, if you have an outdoor outlet or running an extension cord through a window or something, and have that be gently blowing on your campsite. Because here's the deal. Mosquitoes are not very strong flyers. And even the wind created by a simple fan could be enough to sort of blow them away from the immediate area as they fly in trying to get to you. So that's a great non-chemical, all-natural way of keeping the mosquitoes away. If you're camping out or frankly, if you're just out on your deck or your patio grilling out, enjoying the outdoors that way, it's a good way to keep the mosquitoes away.
But that's really interesting that you would tell me about that, about the female mosquitoes. I guess I just hate all mosquitoes because when I step out of the house, they think I'm their filet mignon for dinner. So
yes, yeah.
But nevertheless, that is an interesting little snippet there. And my good producer, Ernie, has just shown me a map that indicates where the REI stores are located. And, of course, there's a lot of them. In the east and in the south. So if you don't find what you need at the local rental place, you might log on to this little map here, and you can see the one that's nearest to you. REI.
That's right. And
located. I have a quick question for you, because I know we're just about out of time here, David, but when we talk about getting children out of the house and enjoying the outdoors, getting familiar with some of the wildlife out there, I guess for kindergarten, elementary age children, it's not too difficult. The parents have some control in what they do. But once they get to middle school and even high school, of course, especially, it's more difficult to tell them what they should be doing. Now, do you have any tricks up your sleeve that maybe to entice our kids to get outdoors more?
Well, I mean, a big part of this is about the parents, and it's about the parents' commitment to doing this and to, you know, sort of reversing, doing their part to reverse this negative trend of indoor kids and all the health issues that are associated with it and that kind of thing. And so at some point, you know, what it really boils down to in terms of older kids or even younger kids is that we really need parents to make a commitment. We need parents to say, this is important, and I'm going to do something about it in my own kids' lives. And so, you know, again, I think it starts there. It starts with the parents just, you know, like I said, making a commitment and making this a priority for their family. Beyond that, I think, you know, you're probably right that certain kids, especially sort of the preteen and teenagers, they might grumble, they might complain, they might whine when you tell them, okay, we're turning off the TV, leave your cell phone inside, we're not texting, we're not playing games, we're not going to get on Facebook, we're just going to have a fun family time. But I can guarantee that once you get them outside and once they spend a little bit of time out there and adjust, and if you've planned some fun stuff, they're going to get into it. They're going to have a good time, and they might not admit it. They might not say, you know, thanks, Mom and Dad, but, it's definitely going to be a fun and interesting thing. And it'll, like I said, it'll be a new experience, and hopefully it'll turn into a family tradition, and it'll be something that families start doing every year.
One last quick question. Do you recommend that, or are we talking here about outdoor activities that the kids themselves, maybe with some help from the parents, put together, and or the kind of little league type of stuff that is organized? We're really not concentrating on organized activities, are we?
Well, in the big picture, one of the biggest challenges is this unscheduled, unorganized playtime, because as I was saying earlier, a lot of great developmental skills happen when kids get to go outside and play unsupervised, where they get to be creative and come up with their own rules and sort of practice decision making with their peers and things like that. So, you know, while things like, say, for example, after-school sports are excellent. They're a great way for kids to get some fresh air and to get a little bit of exercise to help reverse the, you know, the obesity trends and things like that. They're still structured. They're still organized. And so, you know, in general, with National Wildlife Federation's Be Out There movement, we do encourage that unstructured playtime for kids as much as possible. Now, with something like the Great American Backyard Campout, absolutely, if you just want to head outside and, you know, set up the basics and then kind of just let things take their course, that's a great way to do it. But as you were saying, especially if it's the first time that you're doing it and your kids might not really know what to do when they're outside, you might want to think about planning some things. So, you know, everything from fun things like cooking over a campfire, and like I said, we've got a bunch of different kinds of recipes that are on our website, to, you know, maybe, you know, again, you are bringing some games. And I'll tell you, we've got a lot of nature-oriented games and things that you could do, like, you know, listening for nighttime wildlife and doing a nighttime wildlife watch. Looking at the stars and learning a little bit about astronomy, catching fireflies, something as simple as that is a fun family activity. But it doesn't have to even be nature-related. You know, bring out, you know, the bocce ball set and play bocce ball on the lawn before the sun goes down. You know, there's so many different things that you can do outdoors that will get a little, you know, add a little bit of fun and get the bodies moving, get a little bit of physical activity, you'll get the fresh air. The main point is that your family is getting outside and having that one-on-one direct contact with the natural world.
It's a great idea, David. There's no doubt about it. And, again, give me your website, the National Wildlife Federation website.
It's nwf.org/campout.
Okay. Well, I hope that this country everywhere enjoys a huge campout, not only this weekend, but I think it's a wonderful idea. And thanks for sharing the details with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.